Hallelujah. When I was, I'm trying to remember what age I was quite young before we had a baptismal tank in the church in Florida. Somebody was to be baptized, we would take them down the street to a little lake called Mirror Lake. And I remembered as we'd take our cars and we'd drive down there and people would get out of their cars and be walked down the water. Somebody would start singing glory to his name and then people would start singing together. And as we made the way down to the water, glory to his name. I'm thankful I know about the name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you would stand for just a few moments of reading of the Word. Our 11 o'clock service, we are going to have our children's revival service. Had a great time last night with Brother Caleb, Sister Elizabeth Randall. They just did a wonderful job. They're downstairs now instructing the Sunday school teachers, helping in the sessions downstairs. And so they will be all be up here at 11 for our general session. And we'll all get to have fun and be kids at heart. But for right now, it's time for Sunday school. And so we are looking into the Word of the Lord. A title for the lesson this morning is Our Ultimate Hope. Our Ultimate Hope. The thought is, because Jesus conquered death, we can live with hope and expectation of our future resurrection. I'm glad that I don't have to have hope in this life only. I'm glad that I have an understanding that there is a hereafter and that there is a place prepared for me. Amen. Jesus said it this way, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm looking forward to that day. I've said this before, I'll say it again, as beautiful as this scenery is, I've had the opportunity to travel and be at some wonderful places and see some breathtaking scenery. But as beautiful and as wonderful as this world is in the sense of what God created, as he spoke it all into existence, and God said, let, and God said, let, and God said, let, and it all happened and it all formed. If as wonderful and beautiful as this place we call Earth is, what's the place going to be like that he spent time preparing? I'm looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lesson text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Begin reading in verse number 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For those that have no hope in the hereafter, for those that have no hope in eternal life, the only thing they have to look forward to is sorrow. Apostle Paul, writing the church at Thessalonica, says that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice, of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now it's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Thessalonica, believed, taught, instructed, he included himself in we which are alive and remain. In other words, he was preaching even during his day the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. He believed himself to be a part. Then we which are alive and remain. You know what that tells me? That tells me the Apostle Paul thought he could come right now. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. Then we which, and in verse number 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In reality, and especially in the day in which we live, there are few thoughts that should be more comforting to you and I than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one of these days, he's going to split the eastern sky. One of these days, he's going to come and receive those that have been born again. And I'm looking forward to that day. Will I see it? I don't know. But like the Apostle Paul, I'm going to preach, and we which are alive and remain, I'm going to believe that he can come at any moment. And I'm going to be endeavoring to live my life in such a way that there's an expectation. There's an expectation. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning to every heart, God. Lord, I pray that we would be open and receptive to your word, that we would be reminded once again just how wonderful it is to serve you and the hope that we have beyond this life. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus, in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Writing Titus in Titus 2:13, said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If there is any wonder as to whether when we talk or when we refer to Jesus Christ, are we referring to God? Well, we certainly are. We understand that we're looking for that great appearing of our great God. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time, neither can he. So how do we understand the appearing of our great God? We understand it through the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God manifest in the flesh. And when we see him who declares God, we understand the oneness of the Godhead. That the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. And so looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, it is a promise. A promise of the return of Jesus Christ. That he is coming again. We go back to the book of Acts when after his resurrection and Jesus is there talking with the disciples, and then as he's talking with them, the Bible says that he ascends up into heaven. And then two men come down, and angels if you will, and they stand before the disciples and they say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taking up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, just as you've seen him go, just as you've seen him come from the earth into heaven, man's going to see him come from heaven to the earth. In like manner also, his return, if you will be the reverse of his departure. The returning one will be the same Jesus as the departing one. Right now the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But one of these days he is coming back to take all those that are a part of his name, to take all those who have been born again of his spirit, to take all those like you and I as believers to forever be with him. I'm looking forward to that day. I remember as a young person and as a child, there were times where I feared what they call the rapture. Where I'd lose mama in a department store and get worried that maybe the trumpet sounded and I didn't hear it. And I was still there and she was gone. You ever had those feelings? I remember when my sister telling me a story later on in life, and she had backslid from the things of God, and how that one of the most unnerving nights of her life, she didn't realize that my father had canceled a Sunday night service, and so she had been going through some stuff, and so she just was going to go by the church. And she pulled into the church parking lot, and there was nobody there. She said it scared her to her core. And I realize that for those that understand the coming of the Lord, it may not be for those that are far from him or those that have backslid, it may not be a welcome thought. But for us as believers, for us who understand that is going to be the ultimate salvation. Think about it. It will be the ultimate salvation. I say it all the time. It bears repeating. We talk about salvation. We talk about being saved. We understand that through Jesus Christ and what he has done, we are saved from the penalty of sin. And that now as I'm living a life being sanctified by his Spirit, I am being saved from the power of sin. But one of these days, I'm going to be saved from the very presence of sin. I'm going to a place that is holy. To be with a holy God in a holy heaven. Apostle Paul says things like this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And then he goes on to say, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In another place, he says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." In other words, get together and talk about the coming of the Lord. You may be going through persecution. You may be dealing with suffering, but I'm encouraging you to get together and comfort one another with the thoughts of the soon coming Savior. Talk about it, preach about it, sing about it. Why? Because we have a hope in the resurrection. See, you think about it. If I were to ask the question, what is the primary weapon of our enemy? And some would say sin, and you would be correct. But the Bible tells us that sin brings forth death. And so the ultimate understanding, the ultimate fear, if you will, is the fear of death. That because of wrong and because of life, if you will, and because there is a death that happens. Now, we all understand that in the physical, we all die. There is a physical death that is coming for each and every one of us should the Lord tarry. Is it possible that he were to come back while we are alive and remain? Certainly. As I stated earlier, the Apostle Paul was believing that during his day. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up. He believed that the Lord was coming during his time. I've heard, I rarely have I ever heard a preacher that didn't preach the soon coming of the Lord. That preached and believed that the Lord was coming during his time. I have a grandfather who preached the soon coming of the Lord. But guess what? He's passed on. He's experienced the physical death. But I'm so thankful. It is appointed unto man to die once. But you don't have to die forever. I can have life through Jesus Christ. I have a hope in the resurrection. That when the end is here, the end is not the end. That there is a beginning of a new life that is forever. The writer of Hebrews said this in reference to the work of Jesus Christ. He said, "And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." To fear death, to fear the end, to fear the finality of this physical life is not something that you and I should have to worry about. Should not fear. The Bible tells you that Satan used fear and uses fear as bondage. And the ultimate fear is the fear of death. Something's going to kill me, or something's going to kill my image, or something's going to kill who I am. And Jesus is saying, listen, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be subject to fear anymore because of what I've done for you. I've made it possible. This is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." See, it wasn't, understand this. I believe in the power of the cross. I believe in the blood that washes away and the remission of sins. But the reality is, if Jesus had not resurrected from the dead, we would have no hope. But he was victorious over death. And now, as a result, you and I have a hope. Listen,
And please understand where I'm coming from. There are many different religions that seek to worship and acknowledge different people and different accomplishments. But the reality is every single one of those, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, all of those individuals have a grave. So I'm sorry, that does not offer me hope in the afterlife. I serve one who ever lives, who died but rose again. It says this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He says this, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it gives hope. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this immortal must have put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If the Lord tarries and I pass from this life, I hope that one of the things the preacher says over me is this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For those who are in Christ, the fear of death has been swallowed up in the glorious victory of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be fearful anymore. Through Him, we have victory over the most powerful weapon of the enemy, death. For He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and you and I, through Him. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be fearful. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. One time as a young minister, I had an opportunity to sit in kind of a special session with Brother Scott Graham, who is now our general secretary. But Brother Graham told us a story about his grandfather, who was a coal miner preacher. And his grandfather, he told the story one time, his grandfather sat him down and told him the story about he would, after working in the coal mine, he would go to places of ill repute, if you will, in the community. And he would stay in the parking lot and he would begin to preach. Did this on numerous occasions. And one time a man came out of the institution and he went to his truck and he got a shotgun out. And he came over to Brother Graham's grandfather and he put the shotgun in his chest and he cocked the hammer and he said, if you're here tomorrow night, preacher, I'm going to pull the trigger. Graham said, I looked back at my grandfather with wonder in my eyes and I said, Grandpa, what'd you do? He said, boy, I went back the next night. He said, you can't scare me with heaven, boy. I thought to myself, oh, that we could truly have that understanding. You can't scare me with heaven. Do whatever you want, but you're just going to. The Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm at a strait betwixt two, having a desire and to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. I'd rather go ahead and leave. You want to know why the Apostle Paul wasn't scared to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew that bonds and afflictions abide in there? Because according to his preaching, he was wanting the Lord to come back then. We which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up, and I'm looking for it. But it hasn't happened, and it hasn't. Oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost testifies in every city that bonds and afflictions abide you there. Paul. You may be going to your death. Oh, but you need to understand that doesn't scare me. None of these things, he said, moved me. None of these things caused me to contemplate whether or not I should go, because I've come to the understanding that even if they kill me, they're only going to get me to my final reward faster. Oh, what would it be like if we had that same understanding? If we had that same hope. But it should, even in this life, and even as we suffer, and even as we go through things, we should comfort one another with the understanding that there is life after this life. The New Testament, we understand, is replete with many references to the hereafter. The Old Testament has few references, if you will, that really talk about the hereafter. But if you look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says this: "And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Jesus made this statement in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." What that tells me? That tells me we all, whether good or evil, will be resurrected. For those that in this life believe in no afterlife, there's coming a shock. Because the Bible says that there is a resurrection for all. All the graves will be opened, the Bible says. All will hear his voice. All will be resurrected. But the difference is, will I be a part of the resurrection of life, or will I be a part of the resurrection of damnation? But there's going to be a resurrection. Make no mistake about it. When the Lord himself descends with a shout, and that voice, the voice that in one single instance just simply spoke a name and said, "Lazarus, come forth." That same voice will cry out from the heavens, and all the graves, the Bible says, will open. I know we think about it in that context, and we have to sometimes scratch our head and say, how is that going to happen? And if you total up all the people that have ever lived upon the earth, you're talking about billions of people. Yes. And every single one of them, all the graves will be opened, and all of us will be resurrected. See, the Bible tells us that God will bring with him. He will bring with him. In other words, it's going to happen. We are all going to be resurrected. All the graves will be open. And whether I'm alive and remain and I go in what we call the rapture, or whether I'm buried 6 feet under, guess what? I'm still going to go with him. And whether or not I am a part of the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation will depend according to the word of God. Jesus says those that have done good under the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. That's what the Bible tells me. And the Lord, the Bible says, himself shall descend, and we shall be caught up. That word "caught up" is where we get the word rapture, if you will. That word "caught up" is understanding of a taking away. And we talk about the rapture, the day of the Lord that cometh, the Bible says, as a thief in the night. But it will happen. And the difference is, do I or am I fearful of it, or am I looking forward to it? I'll say that again. Am I fearful of it, or am I looking forward to it? But here's the reality of where we are. This is not really so much in the notes, but I want us to maybe be awakened to the reality of where you and I are in our day and lives. We really don't look forward to it as we should. One of the reasons why we don't look forward to it as we should is because we're not suffering. If we were suffering, if we were living in the catacombs, and if we were scared every day of our lives, if you will, in a physical sense, don't you think that there would be some comfort in the understanding that, hey, he's coming back for us. Hey, he's going to, any moment, he's going to split the eastern sky. Comfort one another with these words. And one of the reasons why we don't find much comfort anymore in the understanding that Jesus is coming is because we have too much comfort here in this life. Like it or not, that's the reality of it. Because if we were persecuted and we were suffering, we would be so looking forward to the relief, if you will, it would come through the resurrection. We must remember, we talk about the Lord Himself descending with a shout. People say, well, that's figurative. I don't know that it is. The Bible says, in like manner as you've seen Him go, He's going to come back. He's going to descend with a shout, the Bible says, with the voice of the archangel. Just as His ascension was a miraculous event, so will be His second coming. It will be a miraculous event. And we will, as Acts 1 and 9 says, be taken up just as He was taken up. Those, if we're alive, we're alive and we remain, guess what? We're going to be taken up. Told this story before too, but it bears repeating. When I was in youth ministry in the Florida district, we had decided that during youth camp, one of the final nights, that we were going to stage the rapture. My cousin, who is a trumpet player, was going to stand on top of the boys' restroom, which was right adjacent to the boys' dorm, and we were going to get a select few. We had a plan. We had meetings. We were going to make sure the trouble kids stayed asleep, and then we were going to wake the good kids and tell them to lay their clothes out on the bed. My job was to unplug all the phones, because at that time they had pay phones, and so I was going to disconnect all the pay phones because we didn't want a bunch of parents getting called in the night. We had it all set up, man. We had security on. They were in on it. They were going to park cars up against the fence with the lights on and the hazards going. Man, we had it all. I mean, we spent time planning this and putting this together. You know, it was a top secret mission. It was going to happen. But at the very last moment, the youth president at the time pulled the plug and said, no, he didn't want to deal with maybe some of the aftermath. But still kind of wish we'd have done it. I think it would have been awesome. But anyhow, I'm not into scaring people into heaven, okay? You need to understand that. I don't serve God on the basis of fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. I'm not fearful anymore of the eternal. I'm looking forward to the eternal. I'm looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. I want that to happen. And the Bible tells us there's going to be an order. The dead in Christ will rise first. You look at that phrase, in Christ, it's used many times in the New Testament. In general, it refers to those who have believed on Jesus and experienced a new birth, of members of the body of Christ who have died unto sin through repentance, will be resurrected to meet Him in the air. You see, I die unto sin through Jesus Christ, and therefore I live. I have life through Jesus Christ. That therefore the physical death or the end of this physical life is not the end. It is only the beginning. But the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. I don't really know how all that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be it'll be a lapse in between. It'll be an hour. I don't know. The Bible just tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to go first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to happen. As to exactly how it's going to happen, I don't know. I think we might have had something, pretty close to what we were going to do at youth camp. But I don't know. I don't know how all that's going to happen. I just know this. I'm looking forward to it. I am waiting in anticipation. Just the other day, my wife and I were commenting about the evil of this world. How it's getting worse and worse. Sin is abounding. And I realize where sin doth abound, grace is that much more abound. But there is coming a point where the cup of iniquity will be full. And God will have had enough. And He'll look over to Gabriel and say, hey bud, get ready. It's about time. And I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be after I pass from this life or whether I'm going to be alive and remaining, but this I do know. I'm looking forward. My hope is not in this life. Don't get me wrong. I love the blessings. I love what God has given unto me. I love those things which God has afforded me. But you need to understand, none of these things are as precious and fulfilling to me as the understanding and the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. One of these days, I will make heaven my home. Jesus said this in closing, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I don't know. I don't know where we are on God's timeline. No man knoweth the day or the hour. No man knows when it's going to happen. And I know it's somewhat, you know, rhetorical when we say we're closer now than we've ever been. But we understand that. We understand that we are edging ever closer to the coming of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look at it in any way but with hope. With thoughts of thankfulness that He's going to take me out of all this. I'm not going to have to endure any more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more goodbyes. There will be no more negatives. For at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? The coming of the Lord is not just something to keep in mind. Not something to just think about on occasion. The Bible tells us it's good news with which we are to comfort one another. Hey, brother, hey, sister, don't worry. Don't fret. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Don't worry about what's coming. I think if we had more of heaven in mind, we'd be less preoccupied with the things of this earth. I'll say that for myself. I think if I had more heaven on my mind. A song my parents used to sing when I was growing up. Seems all I've got is leaving on my mind. Seems that's what I think about most of the time. What are you saying? Oh, there was something about, and I'm not condemning this generation, but there was something about previous generations that it seemed to be that they talked about and they preached and they sung about the coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't want it just to be a thought or an afterthought. I want it to be something that I can dwell upon every day of my life, the coming of the Lord. He will soon be coming, and I want to be ready. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Glorious day that will be. Why don't we spend time in prayer, whether it's around the front or there in your pew. Why don't we spend some time in prayer before our classes come in. What a day that will be.
Oh, what a day
that will be with my Jesus.